Well, for centuries, it stood at the mouth of the Churchill River, a last defense for the Hudson's Bay trading post there. But the years have taken a toll on the Cape Mary Battery, and it's finally getting a facelift from a group of masonry students at Algonquin College. They've just been back from a two-week trip. Darren McDonald runs the college's Heritage Masonry program, and Mike Sobel is one of six students who made the trip up north, and both are with us on the phone this afternoon. Hello, fellows.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks. Mike, I'll ask you first if you could maybe describe what this battery looks like, what it looks like, why it's there, and how long it's been there.
The battery is right on the point of the Churchill River across from the island that the Four Princes of Wales is located on. It's about a five-minute drive away from the town. It's essentially three walls, the shape of a trapezoid. The walls are roughly 3.5 feet thick. Each wall is maybe 30 feet long and maybe 3 feet high, 3-4 feet high.
Hmm. And it's a defensive fortification. Were cannons ever fired from those walls, or was there ever a...
Cannons were never once fired from those walls, no. They did have six cannons ready to fire, pointing out of the embrasures across the river. But they were never used because the forts were surrendered when the French came.
Hmm. Why did you want to
take them over?
Why did you want to make the trip way up there for this project?
Well, part of the reason that I got into masonry was to be able to experience new and exciting places, especially in the heritage conservation side of it, and the opportunity to go somewhere in Canada where I'd never been. You know, that's the farthest north that I've traveled. I couldn't miss it, really.
Darren, I understand Parks Canada hired Algonquin students to work on this project. Can you give me some sense of the scope of the job, what they were doing there?
Well, the plan was to go up there and work with some masons from Parks Canada. So we worked with three gentlemen out of the Winnipeg Fort Garry location. So the idea was to remove the cement-based mortar that was put on there roughly 50 to 60 years ago. So all the students chipped away all the mortar that was on the front side of Cape Mary and cleaned it all out and basically repointed it with a new sort of lime, more of a lime-based mortar.
I want to get a sense of the difficulty of working on a masonry project on the Hudson Bay coast. You can't just run to Home Depot and get a bit more mortar. How did you get your supplies? How did you do the work?
Well, it was funny. This is the first situation where I was in where a lot of our supplies were airlifted in by helicopter, which was a very unique experience for us to be there and watch our mortar mixer get lowered by a tagline on a helicopter.
and did you have to bring in stone, or you just used the existing stone and kind of repointed it?
We used the existing stone that was there. Everything, there was three types of stone in the wall. It's all sort of in that area, a quartzite material, a limestone, and some granite that was there. So the stone was still intact, and it was just the mortar that had to be removed and new stuff put in.
And how old is this fortification? I mean, I wonder how they would have built it 150 or 200 years ago, or however old it might be.
Yeah, it's roughly that old. It was built sometime after the fort was built. It would have been a challenge, I would imagine, because of the location and the climate, the weather. So today we have, a little bit more modern, equipment that we can use compared to what they would have had to have used back then.
Mike, I want to know something about the conditions working on the coast. What were the bugs like? It's summer in the Arctic, but there's lots of bugs.
There are a lot of bugs. We actually got pretty lucky with the weather. There is a lot of wind coming off of the Hudson Bay up on the point there. So as long as you kind of stay in that wind, they blow the bugs right off. But if you happen to be in a spot by the wall that was blocked by the wind, you were looking at mosquitoes and black flies and huge deer flies that they called bulldogs.
They call them bulldogs.
And they're friendly.
I bet they're very friendly. And then I understand you had guards for more serious predators, bigger even than the deer flies, in case, that is, polar bears came close. How did you manage that?
Well, we had two rotating polar bear guards for the time that we were there. And they kept their eyes open for polar bears while we were there. And we did see a few, and, you know, you felt really safe with those guys. And they never got too close, but you could tell they knew what they were doing. And they fired their guns when they had to, and they didn't when they didn't.
Did you have any run-ins or near run-ins with polar bears?
Not of the dangerous variety, but one work day we saw a mother and two cubs strolling down the coast.
And
they brought a couple. What? Sorry.
I just wondered. And did you just stay out of the way, or did you retreat in some way? How did you?
Well, we were up on the battlement, so we were pretty safe from them. They couldn't, and they were far enough away that we weren't too worried. And they clearly had no interest in us. They kind of would poke their heads up out of the rocks and take a gander, but they were just doing their own thing. And they eventually got scared off and swam across the Churchill River to the island.
Probably, I guess you're hammering on the You're hammering on the stones pretty regularly, probably, as you're repointing things, so maybe that just scared them away.
Well, what happened was our polar bear guards spotted the polar bears, and we all kind of stopped what we were doing because this is a very exciting experience. You know, everybody goes to Churchill to see polar bears. That is a huge tourist attraction, and we were lucky enough to be working and see them for free. So we stood on the wall and looked out towards where they were, looked through the binoculars. Everybody was kind of getting all excited about it, and then two polar bear guards from the town came up and basically ran right after these three polar bears, fired their guns in the air to get them going, get them away from us, get them away from the town and the people, and it worked. They were driven off, they went into the water, and then we watched them swim away.
What's the importance of this project to the people who are up there? I know it's historically significant for all of Canada, but what does it mean to the people who are there?
For the people, go ahead, Mike.
No, you go ahead, Darren.
Oh, for the people of Churchill, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think the significance of having the fort there and the battery is not only a tourist attraction, but it's part of historical. You know, it's a historic part of that area. So they have, you know, there's people constantly going up there to see the forts, and not only the polar bears and the belugas, but it is part of Canadian history, so I think people have they have that sort of relationship with the fort and Parks Canada. A lot of the people there will work for parks or in that area, you know, for different projects and the tourist industry.
And Mike, did it give you the taste of heritage masonry you were looking for?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exactly the reason I got into heritage masonry, and I hope that there's more of that to come in my career.
It's nice to talk to you both this afternoon. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mike Sobel is a student in the masonry program at Algonquin College's Perth campus, and Darren McDonald, he's the program coordinator who led that trip to Cape Mary, the battery near Churchill, Manitoba.